Exodus chapter 19, verses 9 through 25. This is the reading of God's word. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever." Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. The Lord also said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. While the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain.' So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. He said to the people, 'Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman.' So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there was thunder and lightning flashes and thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. Then the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down, warn the people so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, or else the Lord will break out against them.' Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, "Set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it." Then the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, or he will break forth upon them." So Moses went down to the people and told them." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We thank you that you faithfully give us your word. Let us hear your word. Grant us an ear to hear, truly hear your word, that our faith may grow. And with that growing faith, we pray that we will be able to witness Jesus Christ and our heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. And Father, we pray that through your word, that we will be able to meet Christ and have fellowship with him. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. And let us rejoice and give you all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The purpose of the Exodus, as we have seen last time, it is to be God's own possession, and to be to God a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. It is to be created as God's holy nation of royal priests, his kings and priests. And that is the purpose of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We are God's royal priesthood, And as such, our eternal life is about serving and worshiping our God now and forever. The Israelites were to be God's holy nation of priests. And it is accomplished through, only through, and by the covenant that God makes with them. And in our passage, God is coming to his people to make a covenant with the Israelites. God comes to them at the Mount Sinai. Now the whole Israel is becoming God's covenantal people. God comes and reveals himself to all of the Israelites. He comes and tells them the stipulations and the sanctions of the covenant that he is making with them. And he will ratify the covenant, and we will see that ratification in chapter 24. As we have already seen last time, the sinners are not able to perfectly obey the stipulations of the covenant of God. But we read in verse 8, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. But they are not able. Only our Lord Jesus Christ is able. He is the only one who obeys all the laws of God perfectly, and that he did for us in our places. The meeting of God and the sinners in a loving and intimate manner. It is utterly impossible. Why? Because of sin. God is holy and righteous, and he must punish sin. And the wage of sin is death, meaning that when God meets a sinner, God must punish him by death. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5b, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And he is also the consuming fire. For a sinner to come to God is to be consumed by him forever. It is to be judged and condemned by God forever. Thus, it is utterly impossible for a sinner to meet God in an intimate and loving manner. But our God is a gracious God. And he has provided, which he and he alone can do, a way for us sinners to meet God in a loving and intimate manner. And that way, the only way that God provided, is Jesus Christ. Only in him and through him we are able to have a fellowship with God. Jesus Christ himself is the meeting of God and man. He is God and he is man at the same time. So when you see Jesus, you see the meeting of God and man. He is the clear witness of the reality of man meeting with God. In our passage today, we read about the preparation that the Israelites to make to meet our God. But we have already said that there is only one way for the sinners to meet God. Thus, all the preparation that we will read about, they point to Jesus Christ and what he has done for his people. Verses 10 through 13, the Lord also said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments. And let them be ready for the third day. For the third day of day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. And verse 15 says, he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. They are to wash their garments and they are to abstain from sexual relationships. And the people are not to come near the mountain or touch the border of it. Now, all this shows what? Shows the holiness of God. It shows the reality of how difficult, how impossible for the sinners to come near to God. You die. Just, you are meeting God, but at a distance. Verse 16. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there was thunder and lightning, flashes and thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And verse 19, when the sound of trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him with thunder. And just picture this. God coming to his people. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 4 says, the Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain from the midst of the fire. Do you remember the burning tree where God met Moses? The tree was burning. Well, multiply that by, I don't know, a million or a thousand. Just multiply that. So it's a mountain is burning. And that is what we're looking at. Again, the mountain itself is not burning. Just like the burning bush, the bush was not burning. But it is a terrifying sight. That's why all the people are trembling, it says. You need to appreciate this, what is happening here. God is coming to his people. And people are trembling. Unlike the idols which cannot speak, God speaks to his people. And all the people hear his voice, even though it was terrifying to hear his voice. Chapter 20, verse 18, all the people perceive the thunder and the lightning flashes. And the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. The meeting of the Creator and the creatures. The coming of God. A truly terrifying experience for the sinners. Who is able to stand before God? As they see God coming, as they meet God, they are to realize that their destination is not really the land of Canaan, but their destination is actually God himself. We are to come before God. They are to come to God. They are to realize that their true destination is not really a land in this world, but their destination is the eternal world, the world where God resides. As they meet God, they are to understand that their journey is actually upward. Their journey to the land of Canaan is a type of the true journey of every child of God The journey upward, journey to heaven, the journey to God. Verse 4, you yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptian and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. They are to come to God, but their coming to God will be futile unless God comes to them. God comes to His people. God comes from above. God comes from heaven to this world. And that's exactly what He did in Jesus Christ. Thus, all of God's children who meet Him must go up to Him to meet Him. As they meet God who comes from above, they are to realize that this world is not everything. This world is not eternal. It's temporary. They are to see the eternal glory and realize that one day they will arrive there. Of course, only the ones that God gives faith will believe all of this. This coming of God to His people at the Mount Sinai. What do we see? Verse 9a, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud. Verse 18, now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. So God comes in the cloud and in the fire. Do you remember what led the people in the wilderness? The pillars of cloud and fire. And they show the presence of God with them. And here at the Mount Sinai, God comes to His people also in the cloud and in fire. Isaiah 63 verse 11, then His people remembered the day of old of Moses, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He who put His Holy Spirit in the midst of them? Now, you gotta put this thing together. God comes in the cloud and in the fire. But Isaiah 63 tells us that they were led by the Holy Spirit. So according to this Isaiah verse, it was the Holy Spirit who led the people in the wilderness. Thus the pillars of cloud and fire, they are the symbols of the Holy Spirit being with them. Symbols of the Holy Spirit and His glory. Thus, there at the Mount Sinai, as we see the coming of God in fire and in cloud, we see what? We see the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in the cloud that we see is the glory cloud. Exodus chapter 40 speaks of the completion of the tabernacle. And there in chapter 40, verse 34 and 35, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Again, the cloud, but we see glory. It's the glory of the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit comes and fills the tabernacle. The cloud that covered the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, we see the completion of temple. Not tabernacle, but temple. And there we see the same thing happening. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. It happened that when the priest came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And that is what we are looking at in our passage also. You have to see that the Mount Sinai is transformed to a temple. The temple is the place where God meets with his people. Mount Sinai, if you topple the Mount Sinai, make it flat on the ground. It's hard to imagine that, but just topple it. Then you see the structure of the temple. Outside, see temple outside, the people stand. See outside the temple, people stand. And the priests are, only priests are able to go into the holies, the first room. And the high priest, only once a year is able to go into the Holy of Holies, the inner room. Just like it, the people stand at the foot of the mountain. And later we will see that Aaron and his sons, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, they go up to the mountain, but only halfway. Just like priests can only go into the first room. Only Moses is able to go to the top. Just like the high priest, only he could go into the Holy of Holies. Only he. And once a year. And here we see Moses only. Do you see it then? The Mount Sinai is transformed into the temple. And that is what we are looking at as we see the coming of God to his people at Mount Sinai. It's like any of the coming of God, God coming to the tabernacle, God coming to the temple, we see the same thing here, God coming to his people at Mount Sinai. But the meeting of God and his people in our passage is not an intimate meeting. It is a meeting God at a distance. And the people are afraid, terrified. They tremble the whole time. And you must appreciate that scene. Because we too are meeting with our God even now. The you and God are meeting as we worship him. But how about us? Are we terrified? Do you tremble the whole time you worship God? What's the difference? We are indeed amazed because we too are meeting with our God as we worship him right now. Is our meeting with our God an intimate meeting? Yes. Are we meeting God at a distance? No. Are we afraid, terrified, trembling the whole time? No. And I want you to see very clearly, brothers and sisters in Christ, what our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Something has changed. Because when we see in the Old Testament, it's different. They could not even go near. They were terrified. God has invited all of you, all of us, not just a few people, but all of us, not just one person, but all of us who are in Christ, He invites you, come near. In terms of Mount Sinai, He invites you to come to the top. Does God tell you right now? Does God tell you to stay back? Does He tell you to don't come close? Stay away, otherwise you will be dead. I want you to realize how blessed you are. Do not measure your blessing by how much things of this world you have or what kind of job you have. Man, those are just, it's meaningless. You just wait and see how meaningless that is. You are truly blessed, able to come near God. He receives you at His bosom. But we are just like the Israelites. We are the sinners just like the Israelites. We're not any better than them. Then what has happened to enable us to meet our God with joy, to meet our God intimately? What has happened? And that is Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. He bore our sins and died for us. See, on that cross, the Father abandoned Him. He told Jesus, stay away. I cannot be with you. Don't come near. We don't know what this is. You know, the Trinity, the relationship between God, the Father, and the Son, the perfect harmony, the perfect love, the perfect fellowship. And on that cross, a specific moment in history, it broke. The Father turned His head away. He tells Jesus, don't come near. He died for us. He paid the wage of our sins completely and perfectly. And He lived that perfect righteous life for us. Do you remember? Whoever touches the mountain shall surely put to death. And Jesus was put to death for us on the cross. He was abandoned by His Father for our sins. So through Him, through His blood, and through His righteousness then, we are able to meet our God without fear of judgment, without fear at all. For God has judged our sins in Jesus Christ. The only thing left for God to do for us is to love us. Listen carefully. That's the only thing that is left for God to do for us. Do you understand that? Yes, He punishes us, but as a, like a father, not as a judge. But He disciplines us now because we are His sons. That's not out of anger. That's out of love. So, like meeting our own fathers, we meet our God. without fear. In Jesus Christ, we have the boldness. Even though we are sinners, we sin still, but we have the confidence that God will receive us. He will welcome us because we are in Christ. See, you and I, we meet God intimately and with joy. And Jesus Christ has accomplished it for us. Through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true temple, the heavenly temple has been completed. His body is the true temple, and we are His body, thus we are the true temple. And at this temple, the Holy Spirit comes with the glory, just like what you see in our passage. The Holy Spirit comes, not in a cloud and not in a fire anymore, but the true Holy Spirit Himself comes, not in the symbols or types, no longer. You see yourself as the temple, and the Holy Spirit comes to you, and He fills you with His glory, with Himself. And we joyfully enjoy His presence with us. And that reality is seen at the Acts chapter 2 when Holy Spirit comes. No longer God comes to the mountain. He comes to His true temple, His people. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me read to you from verse 18. Chapter 12, verse 18. For you have not come to a mountain. See, as we gather to worship our God, the author of Hebrew is the New Testament, he says, for you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, to darkness and gloom and whirlwind. See, you didn't come like the Old Testament people who came to meet God. He's comparing our reality in Christ right now with the Old Testament. You did not come to a mountain, verse 19, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sounds of words, which sounds was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command. If even a beast touched the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses even said, I am full of fear and trembling. Even Moses. See, you need to realize that you are at a better place even than Moses himself. You have something far greater and better than what Moses had at that time. All because of what Jesus has accomplished. He says, you did not come to God like that. You didn't come to that kind of place to meet God. Then where did you come? Verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Now, What does the blood of Abel speak? It speaks vengeance. But Jesus' blood speaks something that is more superior. It speaks of forgiveness. So, our sins are forgiven. We are able to come to God through Jesus Christ without fear. We didn't come to a mountain in this world or temple in this world. We came to meet God in heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly Mount Zion. And here, we meet God with joy. Do you remember how the Israelites are to wash their garments? Brothers and sisters, you too have washed your garments as we meet our God. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14b, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, just like these Israelites, we have to wash our garments. Do some laundry. And we washed our garment with the blood of Christ and made them white. That's why we wear white. You know, you have to really understand the meaning of bride wearing white. It comes from the Bible. Nah, it's a symbolism. But we are adorning ourselves worthy of the bride, wearing the white robes. And that is what happened to us. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you will be able to see your heavenly reality, that we are meeting our God even now. And it is an intimate meeting. We have the sweet fellowship with our God. No fear, only pure joy. And this is our present spiritual heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Compare what you see in chapter 19 of Exodus with your present reality in Christ. And just realize how blessed you are. Do you say to me, oh, who cannot hear God's voice? It's so terrifying. You go talk to him and tell us what he's saying. No. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us worship him with joy, and just have a wonderful time with our God. He loves you. He welcomes you because of what Jesus has done, because of Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh, Father, how blessed we are that we are able to come to you, come near to you, without any fear, even with joy. It's not because we are better than the Israelites, but because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. Oh, Father, we love you, God. And we love you because you have loved us first. Let us worship you. Let us serve you. Let us love you with joy unspeakable, joy of heaven. We thank and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.